I'll shoot one while we're sitting in here.
Anything. really been done, actually. You said there has to be a dialogue. He's a climate of dialogue with the Soviet Union. We have one solve it all at once with us. Then you said we have to get into communication with China and the Middle East. Each of the four major things, all that you said, was done. It's marvelous. What I want to do is ask the same stupid question now about domestic affairs.
Yeah.
So the whole thing comes in that big.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right. Yeah.
Well, let me do this. Let me digress from the domestic affairs to put the foreign thing in context a bit. Because I think you should know that I don't think that's done yet. What we have done in foreign affairs we have really achieved more than I have hoped, except for the fact that I had hoped that we would have had a more rational reaction than our Vietnamese, so that would be over. But it will be over. Let's just face it, it will be over. Now, the point is that, on the other hand, in terms of the opening to China, the establishment of not only negotiation, but even cooperation in some areas with the Soviet Union, the reestablishment of American, using that word, prestige in Europe, even though you hear a lot of fishing around, but whether it's in Western Europe with the great powers there, whether it's in Japan where we've had our problems, but we still are highly respected, or whether it's in Southeast Asia, any place in the world, with the one exception of South Asia where we have the problem in India and Pakistan, which will always be with us, as long as they're having their terribly stupid fight about Kashmir. Whether it is that, we have. If the American president terms of Russia, it did the same thing. SALT I was difficult. SALT II is much more difficult because it involves the whole heart of our defenses. And then we come to MBFR, Balanced Force Reduction. That requires all of our European.
How do you keep all this in your mind?
Well, that's my job. But MBFR, you see, all of this is coming. There will be announcements. BFR will be announced. The negotiation at BFR, a European Security Conference, and SALT II will all take place in the next 6 months. Now, I have seen the reason. So, what I really need, if we should win the election, I don't want to be in the position of poor Churchill, you know, going to Potsdam, on the other hand, that isn't going to happen, I don't think. But anyway, if we can win well, then we can go talk to the Soviets. Great authority, you can talk to the Chinese authority, you can talk to the Japanese, and you've got to talk to the Europeans the same way, you know. The European, here is Europe, economic giant, and like Japan, virtually militarily, in terms of world power. I don't mean France isn't strong, and Britain isn't strong, and all of them together don't contribute to NATO. Must take the lead in the negotiations reducing the tensions in Europe, reducing the burdens of arms in Europe, reducing the forces in Europe, but without scourging our allies, without Finlandizing Europe. That is the next great problem we may be confronted with. Now, the Mideast is still terribly difficult. I would like to say that great credit for cooling it there and having the Kurds and Turks a lot better for them not to be killing each other every day. Nevertheless, it is terribly difficult that we're going to keep our commitment to Israel, but we at the same time must develop a policy that is something more than an armed truce there. And that's the so what I'm saying is that the work is not finished there. I would just mention it, I don't want to indicate that there's no interest in Africa, there is. But that's basically more European, more their problem than ours. They have a closer problem. Latin America is our problem. And when I say our problem, I don't mean that. But Latin America, we need some new initiatives in that area. So much for foreign policy. What I mean to say is that we have made a very good beginning. Many would say it's years, we were frozen in ice, and now we fought the ice. That's what's happened. But now, we can slip into the water and drown, or we can find a way to swim through, you know, and get to the further shore. And this, therefore, is when the ice thaws, is the period of the greatest danger, as well as the greatest hope. So that's the way I look at it at the present time. That's foreign policy. And the mandate is essential in order to be able to speak with strong bipartisan tradition, a strong defense, and a strong foreign policy. That, I find, is the real cruncher when it comes to the space of the meaning. For me, yes,
that's what it's about.
No, and economy. Economy is being concerned for foreign policy.
Oh, yeah, they worry about the economy, economics, because the redistribution of wealth disturbs them. The welfare is hurt, all these. But the, what really forces a man, the main thing that makes an individual, a man or woman, leave his party, is usually when they think in terms of the country and the people of border and defense policy. That'll take them over. The domestic thing, they figure that they can handle. Now, let me come back to the domestic thing, tell you what I find. While in the field of foreign policy, by using my aid of the Congress example, a president with a minority, with a Congress against him can leave. In the field of domestic policy, he cannot. And there again, in 19, in the 80s, the Congress went directly against Truman's will on tax, on taxes, on a number of items. Do you remember? On the controls, the true controls. Now, they lost for you, but nevertheless, they did. I have had somewhat similar problems with the Congress and domestic policy. In fact, before we got to the post office, and we fiddled around with a few things.
You could never write it well.
Never write it revenue share.
That's all I'm
through. Oh, it's sure. It's sure. The revenue sharing is the only major initiative we're going to get. Now, and that's because we put a hell of a lot of heat on the mayors and governors. And Governor Rockefeller certainly deserves rounding points on that. He, through his history, went terribly. And negative is where the mayors and county administration go. But anyway, now my point is, though, we were just talking to Elliot today about welfare reform. And they talked about what do we do with the fuel of the taxes, and what about our health program, and what about our government reorganization, and the other things. And I said, let's face it, this Congress is not going to do anything responsible for this election. I said, so let's quit fooling around. I said, let's do everything that we can. Let's present the case. Let's be as reasonable as we can. We won't give up on welfare reform. But don't make any concessions. Because if you do make concessions, you're just going to get ourselves in the same box the other falls in. We leave our position. I said, remember that the next Congress will do a better job on our tax bill. It'll do a better job on our welfare bill. It'll do a better job on needed health reform proposals. Government reorganization in this Congress. And he said, well, suppose we don't win the Congress. I said, I don't care if we win. I said, I want us to win. And I said, I think we may win one house or the other. But even if we don't, if a president wins by anything like 10 million votes or more, which we might, we can win by 10 million votes or more. Or if we win by 8 million votes. I said, when the president comes in with that, the Congress for the next year is going to follow that president. That's my view. If the mandate is big enough. See, Truman, you understand, and dealing, see, the reason this fall is this. Truman, you understand, in 46 had not been elected. He had no mandate, remember? He had succeeded Roosevelt in 45. The Republicans got it. He had no mandate. And so, therefore, while he led in foreign policy, he did it in domestic policy. Now, in this instance, we will have been elected. I will have been elected. And then we can go to the Congress and say, foreign policy is to be a cakewalk. They'll go along. In the field of domestic policy, then we can say now, the country has spoken, because I'm going to present my domestic views in the campaign at a very high level, not taking the other fellow on, others will do that. I'm going to present my views so that the people will be determining whether they want an enormous increase in the welfare rules or
do. Because you see, what we can do, I want to make the kind of change we're going to have, this is very important, it's not the kind of change that we had in the well-intentioned, but not well-thought-out poverty program era. The 60s was not good for America. It was a mess.
The 60s, I call the decade gave goodwill a bad name.
Yeah, very good. Very good. That's right.
Although
now, we feel, one thing we have learned, and this is the thing about some of our guys in the university, but the early ones, his crowd over there, needless to say, the Kissinger crowd, etc., we know how to do the job. We know what worked and what won't work. We're a very pragmatic thing. Lou Harris uses the term, and I use it inside this speech, change that works. And that's what we're for. We're for change that works, but we are not.
So you get
that weekend.